نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. I'd like to welcome you to our tafsir class. And today, if I'm not mistaken, this is the third class in Surah Al-A'la, Surah number 87. And also that we reach up to verse number 9 or 10. Okay, we're doing good, alhamdulillah. So inshallah today we continue with the tafsir, the explanation, the understanding of the surah, Surah Al-A'la, which is named after Almighty Allah's names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-A'la, the most high. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high by all means, in His essence, in His qualities, in His names. So He has the totality of perfection and the totality of highness in the essence of himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his quality, as well as, if we can use the term, his place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all his creation and all his creature, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so high, is above the seven heaven, in a manner that fits with his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are working with Surah Al-A'la, which is named after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And the surah started with the command that to glorify the name of Almighty Allah, the Most High. Inshallah, we recite the verses, and after this we start from verse number 9, or maybe we go over number 8 again, because there is some talk here of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and I think it's beneficial that we can go over, listen to it, even if we heard it. So it is good that we can enforce it and emphasize on it again. First, let me recite the verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. Verse number 8. ونيسرك لليسرى ونيسرك لليسرى نيسرك mean this term come from the word يسر ease and نيسرك we shall make easy for you O Muhammad لليسرى to the path to the path the easy way the guided way so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the noon in yunassiruka is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like saying we noon the noon okay where it say aktubu أقرأ أسجد when the verb is starting with this alif this mean I do so it's a single but when you say نأكل نسجد نلعب this mean we do alright so here a present tense starting with إنون which means the doer here is we okay And we here is referring to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty is the only one capable and able to make things easy on us. Okay? We shall direct you. Yassiruka. And the calf in the end is referring to the Prophet Muhammad, is a pronoun. So there is two pronouns here in this word. Is a verb that starts with a pronoun referring to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ending with a pronoun referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, like you say ashkuruka, ahmaduka, okay, أعطيك, I give you, أشكرك, I thank you, ك ييسرك, we shall make easy for you. لليسرى, لليسرى دلام means to, okay, means to, لي يسرى the best, the easy way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam easy. And this is verse number 8 in surah number 87, which is say, and we shall make easy for you, O Muhammad, the easy way, i.e. the doing of righteousness deed. Now let's go, I'm not sure if we talk about it little bit last time or not, but this what's happening when you get old, you forget. This is the reason we need somebody like Brother Farooz to remind us. Who's older, you or me? Maybe me and you, we need somebody like Faisal to be with us so he can remind us. Do you know if we went over this verse or not? Now we're going to know who's older now, you or me. Briefly? Okay. Alright. The Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah send mercy in his soul, says this verse is a promise from Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that He will make his affairs easy. Okay? Especially, what is the most important of our affairs is the obedience of Allah. Okay? This is the most important thing. Because this, what we've been created for, is the obedience of Allah. And you'd be surprised that obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although that is simple, but it can be difficult on some people. As example, can you imagine if the salah is 50 instead of 5, as it happened when Allah made it obligatory, okay, and how Allah reduced the number to 5, okay, but it still reward us for 50, as if we make 50 salah. For each salah you're going to make, you are rewarded 10 times. Alright? But can you imagine if we pray 50, we need to pray 50 times a day? That means by the time you finish, okay, you need to start another prayer. With 5 times a day prayer, but you know how many Muslims, they are not even making it. And this is 5 time prayers. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made hours between each prayer. But still, if a lot of Muslims have excused why they are not praying in time. So the salah is simple, the salah is something good, okay, the salah, it doesn't take hours, but still it is difficult on some people, is a burden on some Muslims. Is this true or not? You see, so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy in you, this is the most important thing, the ibadah of Allah. Why, as example, hijab for many women, even in Islamic country, is a problem. They're still struggling with it. You see? So it's not that the hijab is something shameful or something bad, okay? But how that obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be difficult on some people. As a result of this, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, innu uhibbuka, O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. فَلَا تَدَعَنَّ أَن تَقُولْ after every salah, اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, Mu'adh, indeed I love you. When you love somebody, you try to gift him. You try to show you understand your love to him, or to her, or whatever. Or to it, because some people love dogs and cats and mice. Okay. So the Prophet said, Mu'adh, I love you. As a result of this, he gave him what? Say, don't forget to say after each prayer, O Allah, help me. You see, help me to remember you, to be grateful to you, and to worship you in the best manner. So if Allah did not help you, it became a problem for you. So Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we shall make it easy on you, Muhammad. As a result of this, we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't only make the 5-time prayers, he even got up at night. Okay, and prayer at night became dearer to him even than his bed or being with his wives. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy on him. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it easy on us. But we need to appeal to Allah and ask Allah and beg Allah and also do something to show our gratitude to Allah, so Allah will make things easy on us. Why you think some people, they don't make too much money, but they still satisfied with their income, although if they go to gambling, you can be rich, huh? Because Allah make it easy on them and made them satisfied with the little bit they making from halal than having a lot of money but from haram. So Allah is promising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we shall make your affair easy, O Muhammad. And the most important thing is what? Is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all your affairs will be easy, especially the obedience of Allah. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the Sahaba, none of you except his seat from hellfire or Jannah has been already decreed, been assigned. Okay, your destination is already, your seat, your number is already been taken place, if you're going to Jannah or going to hellfire. So the Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, should we give up doing ibadah, work, okay, and let's rely on what Allah had wrote down for us? So it's already distant. Why we have to go to the mosque? Why we have to work? Why? So let's rely on what is decreed for us, and they say. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, no. اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. No, you need to act. You need to try your best, because each one of you will be directed and been made easy for him to go for what his destination. Okay, so don't sit down in your house and do nothing. Go about it, try. If you are from the people of Ahl Jannah, Allah will make the way and the deeds that which takes you to Jannah easy in you. Okay, and if you are from the people of hellfire, now you're going to find it is difficult for you to go to the mosque. It's difficult for you to make your salah. It's difficult with you to stick with the halal. It's difficult with you to have the hijab. It's difficult for you to stay away from the usury. You see? Why? Because you've already been distant to something. So don't give up. You have responsibility. What is the responsibility? It's to do the deed. Go. Try to do the deed. But don't say, oh, Allah destined me already to hellfire. But how do you know you already destined to hellfire? You need to do something, okay? You need to beg Allah. You need to ask Allah to help you, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرُ. Okay? In Surah Al-Layl. He says, as for the one who gives in charity and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in Jannah, we shall make it easy on him towards the easy path. You see? So it takes a deed from us, intention from us. You need to take a step forward. Come closer to Allah, like it says in the hadith, one hand span, Allah will come one arm towards you. Come walking to Allah, Allah will come running to you. But don't keep sitting in your house and say, oh Allah, come to me. Alright? Try to open the Quran, read. At least make attempt to read and see if Allah will open your heart or not. But don't leave the Quran on the shelf, dust on it, day and night, watching TV, reading newspaper and things like this. You are not making effort even to open the Quran. You see? So Allah is saying in Surah Al-Layl, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. So the taysir, and to make it easy, comes as a result of what? That you take an approach towards the good deed. He said, أعطى, he gives for Allah's sake. واتقى, he fear Allah. وصدق بالحسنى, and he believes in the godly reward, which is Jannah. We shall make his way easy to paradise. The Shaykh Rahmatullah is saying, this hadith is evidence against Zohar make excuse with the predestination. So they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will say, or she will say, it's been decreed for me already. This is not an argument, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. You have to do good deed, because you're going to be led towards your destination, but you have to do deed. Okay? The Sheikh is saying, do you see anybody stopping you from good deed if you want to do it? No way. Do you see anybody forcing you to disobey Allah if you don't want to disobey Him? No. As a result of this, if somebody imposes in you to do something wrong or haram, you do not have the ism, the sin. Okay? If somebody imposes in you or threaten your life and cause you to do something haram, you are not punished in Islam. Islam says that three people are exempt. Okay? Child until reach age of puberty, a person who is overslept, okay, and a person who lost their sanity. The other hadith is said that Allah forgive from my ummah what you understand been imposed or been forced on them. You see? So if somebody forced you to do something and you don't have a choice and you did it, you are not going to be a sinner. Why? Because you did not do it with your own choice. You see? And this is another evidence against the people that are always using the decree of Allah, predestination, oh Allah, this for me, this, and Allah will do this for me. But how do you know that Allah wrote this for you? Okay? What's stopping you to do good deeds? What's stopping you to go to the mosque? What's stopping you, understand, to stay away from the riba and the usury? What's stopping you? Okay? You make an excuse. You don't know what is written for you. So, it says the other argument that because the person Islamically, if he's been forced to do something, he's not responsible. And you are not blamed like the person who did it with his own choice. Even if it's kufr. Even if is disbelief in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدر فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب أليم. سورة النحل, the B, verse 106. Allah is saying, whosoever disbelieve in Allah after he became a believer, with exception those who been forced to disbelieve or to say the word of disbelief, while his heart is content with iman, but the blame upon the person who happy with it, his heart is content with the disbelief. You see, those people who their heart is content with disbelief, anger from Allah upon them, and for them is a great punishment. But at the time of Sahaba, as example, and some of them, they said, okay, you believe in Muhammad, you believe in Muhammad, we're going to shoot you now, we're going to kill you now. And he said, no, I don't believe in Muhammad, I don't believe in Quran. But later on, after he escaped from the kuffar, he came. I forgot what's his name now. So, and he was feeling bad, okay, to save his life. He said, no, I don't believe in Muhammad. What Quran are you talking about? But his heart inside was like, you know, feeling like bleeding. And as soon as he escaped from them, he went to the Prophet. He said, Prophet, I said this about you, and I said this about Islam. So the Prophet asked him, what did your heart feel when he said it? Okay? So he said, oh Prophet of Allah, my heart was, I was very sad, I was, you understand, very troubled, and he said, no blaming you. If they do it again, say it to them. Okay. Say to them, no, I don't believe in Muhammad, I don't believe in Islam, nothing. You see? As long as your heart is content with Islam. So this person been forced, so he is not. And this shows you, you are not responsible. So we could not use the qadar, predestination, or the fate as excuse. Why? Because this shows that the person that who been forced to do something is not punished for it. You see? As a result of this, we say to all the Muslims, you need to work. You need to do a good deed. And you need to stay away from the evil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your matter easy and your affairs easy for you. As a result of this, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never been in any difficulty or hardship unless that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a way for him. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him in the next verse by saying, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. Okay. Verse number 9. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. فَذَكِّرْ إن نفعت الذكرى. ذكر is the verb. فا means then. Okay. ذكر, remind or admonish or advise. Okay. إن if نفعت beneficial or useful, as dhikra, admonishment. Verse number 9 again. Therefore, remind men in case the reminder profits them. Which he means, O Muhammad, remind the people, teach them about Allah, warn them against the punishment of Allah, give them admonishment, correct them, advise them, teach them. In nafa'ati dhikra, in a time which is dhikra, is beneficial. As example, you don't go, people playing soccer ball, and you come in the middle of the field and say, hey guys, let me tell you a hadith. This is not the right approach. You understand? This is not the place. You may wait until, as example, they have a break. Alright? Or you can see if you can have 5 minutes with them before they start. So you have to choose the right time, the right occasion for you to give this admonishment. You see? Like a condition. If it is, okay, yeah. Or remind them if you see or when you see that the reminder and the teaching, it will be beneficial. I.e., if you think that these people are not going to benefit from what you're talking to them about, don't do it. Some of the scholars, they said, give the reminder at any case and all time. Alright? That means remind these people if you see that these people can reminder or admonishment be beneficial for them. So we say, with all this understanding or this tafsir concerning this verse, give reminder at all cases. Because the zikra or the reminder is a beneficial. If it's not beneficial for the one you speak to, it's beneficial for this one who's speaking. You understand? As an example, let's say that these people here in the class, they are not, they don't care about the class. So I give the class. Because there is still beneficial. If it's not beneficial for you, it's still beneficial for me, because it may be I myself paying more attention to it, or that you are not benefit, but I am giving the class, so is what? I'm still getting a reward. So it doesn't matter, the people going to benefit, is not benefit, do the job, because somebody is benefiting. The people can be benefiting by correcting their mistakes, or at least you are getting reward. You see? You understand? So somebody is benefiting from the zikra, from the reminder. And if the person who hear what you're talking about and it benefiting him, he make a use out of it. Okay, like as example, you may pray in your house. Now I talked to you about prayer, so maybe this will encourage you to pray in the mosque instead of your house. Or that the person is not praying and I will start to go to pray, so it's going to be a benefit. Okay, it's going to make you start to do something, or that you're going to improve what you're doing. Okay, so if it benefits you as a listener, you are a believer. And if it didn't benefit you, it's not going to diminish my reward. So give tazkira, give reminder, regardless you think it's going to benefit the people or not, because somebody is benefit out of it. So if the listener is not going to make a use out of it, you getting a reward. You see, this is what it say, in nafa'at al-zikra, that means that zikra is going to be beneficial to somebody. There is a different understanding about the verse, but basically that we have to always try to remind, according our means, our abilities, the occasions that are available for us, regardless now that people are going to take it serious or not, they're going to hear or not, somebody is benefiting from it. And if it's not benefiting by stopping the sin or improving the work, you as a speaker is still benefiting, you're getting a reward. Okay? While other scholars, they said, you only remind if you feel or you think, or when you feel it is going to be beneficial for the people. But if not, now you are not obligated, will be optional. So if you know that this kind of people, if I admonish them, they may change what they're doing, now became obligatory for me to talk to them. Okay? But if I think they are not going to care about what I'm saying, now it's optional for me what to say it or not to say it. So there is a various understanding among the scholar about the verse, but still the bottom line that tazkira, reminding and admonishing and correcting and advising, is something good that we should be concerned about it. And you have to understand that in the worst case, you, the one who giving the da'wah, still you are benefiting, even if the people do not benefit from it.
Is one opinion considered more correct?
No, the verse is open for all this to understand. You understand? Yeah. And Allah knows. Nevertheless, we say, in all cases, we should be making tazkir, even if you think it's not going to be beneficial, because it's going to benefit you. And the people also will get to know that this is a must or this is haram, because if we did not say anything about it, so you see, the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he's saying now there is a benefit at all cases, because even if the people did not respond to your call, now they will know that this is not correct Islamically what they're doing. Because some of them, they said, if there's something wrong, the scholars will be talking about it. So if everybody's quiet and not saying something, the people will start to think that this is okay to do it. You understand? So it's saying it's still important for us to talk and to give the da'wah, regardless the people accept it or reject it. It's very important that we remind people to spread the Sharia, regardless if we think it's going to benefit or not. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse is saying, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. So by this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had divided the people to two categories. Let's go again to the verse. In this verse number 10 and verse number 11, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى. I said something last week, I think I remember this one. I said how to make a verb in the future. Good, thank you. Adding seen in the beginning. Okay, you say سأجدو سأذهب سأشرب. So when you bring the scene, it means what? I will. Okay, so here it say what? سيذكروا. Again, the root word verb here, the root word is ذكرا. Okay, يذكروا, to put it in the present tense. And سيذكروا to make it in the future tense. Okay, but still we're talking with the word remember or reminder or admonishment. Okay, سيذكروا, he will receive the admonishment, the admonish, the admonition. He will receive the admonition. Who? He said, "Man yakhsha." Who's the one who will receive it? When you start to talk to people, try to teach the people, warning the people, advising the people, Allah said, "The one who is yakhsha, it will have effect on him. He will, the admonishment or the admonition, it will benefit him." Alright, he say he will receive this admonishment, the one who fears Allah, fears the hellfire, fears the day of judgment. Okay, because they have fear of Allah. Now whatever you heard in the khutbah, whatever you heard in the class, whatever this person advised you, is going to have some impact in you. It's going to have some kind of effect in you. Why? Because you have the khashya in your heart. The seed is there already in the heart. So now you come with the admonishment, with the correction, it will, the seed will grow. خشية, fear. من يخشى, من means who, يخشى من خشية, خشية means fear. يخشى is the verb because it starts with the ya here, but became, it turned to be from noun to verb and make it from the past. خشية يخشى, he will fear. سيخشى, he will. Okay, the one who fear. ويتجنبها الأشقى, يتجنبها, will avoid it, الأشقى, wretched. Do you know what is the wretched? What is the word he used there?
Unfortunate.
الأشقى, the misfortune person. Okay, exactly, because the one who away from the guidance is the loser. Doesn't matter how much money, how much degree, you understand, because the poor and the rich are going to die. Alright, but if your destination is Jannah, which is going to be life forever, you are a winner. But what about, you understand, you have all these millions of dollars, and in the hereafter you're going to be forever in hellfire. This is shaqa, misfortune, miserable life. So the one who avoids the tazkira, when you go and try to tell him about Allah, give him da'wah, tell him salah, this is haram, don't do this and that, you suck in their teeth and stay away from you and say, I don't care for this, I don't want to hear this. Allah said, the one who avoids the da'wah is the ashqa, from shaqa, which is the opposite of sa'id. Shaqiyun am sa'id, and this is the two words, one of them is written. When the angel ask Allah, shaqiyun am sa'id, when in the baby, 4 months, for 120 days, in the mother womb, and the Malak, okay, comes and write. And one of the words, the four words they write, he asks Allah, Ashaqiyun am Sa'id? Is he Sa'id or Shaqi? Sa'id means going to be a believer, because this is the real happiness. And Shaqa, misfortune, which is the opposite of Sa'id, became Ashqa, that means he's not going to be a Muslim. Yes. So doesn't matter how much you get in the dunya, and your place in the hereafter is hellfire, you are Ashqa. Because the happiness and the misfortune of this life is temporary. If, let's say, somebody handicapped, this handicap stay in this life for how long? 40, 50, 100 years, 150 years? How long? We don't know about somebody lived for 150, let's even say 150 years, but after this going to die. In the hereafter, they are not going to go, you understand, live with their handicap. Okay? Unless they are kuffar. So if a Muslim been poor, been miserable all their life, in this life, in the hereafter, all the things is not going to be like nothing, not even like 1 hour compared to the life in the hereafter. So for somebody to be in hellfire forever, this is the real shaqa, the real miserable, and the real misfortune. You know, there is hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, he'll bring the most fortunate person of this life, the most fortunate person of this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dip him in hellfire only one time. Not, you understand, stay in hellfire for a month or a week. Only dip him only one time in hellfire. And after this, Allah said to him, "O my slave, did he ever see any good in your life?" Saying, "No, Allah, I swear by you, I never saw anything good." So that means it's telling you that one dip in hellfire is going to erase all your memory of all good that you saw in this life. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the misfortune person of this life, okay, will be brought in the hereafter, and he will be dipped only one single dip in paradise. And Allah will ask him, that means he lived all his life miserable, dip him only one time in Jannah, say, "Oh my slave, did you ever see any misery in your life?" He say, "I swear by you, Allah, I never saw anything." He's not lying, he's not playing games with Allah's name. But one day in paradise, erase all the memories and the bad things that he saw in this life. Can you imagine about a person who's going to live forever in Jannah, or going to live forever in hereafter? So being not Muslim in this life, this is the real shaqa. Not answering the da'wah and the call. He say, "Oh, Muhammad, gives him da'wah." Okay? Because the one who will answer your call, he's the one who fear Allah. And the one who avoid the da'wah, he doesn't want to hear what you're talking about. He doesn't want, I don't want to care about this Quran, Jannah, all this business. I don't want to hear it, okay? He said, Al-Ashqa, the one who avoid the reminder and the admonition, he is what? He's Al-Ashqa, the most, the worst, the most miserable person.
Now, how do you, before hearing the message of da'wah, how do you know whether to pay attention to it?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra." Every child is born in the upright nature. Doesn't matter where and when, how, Allah had planted in you, in your upright nature, inside you, something new, something there, that Allah is there, Allah is one, Allah is your God, you understand, is the one who deserves your ibadah and your worship. So it's like a light has some dirt in it. The matter that you come with a towel and wipe it like this, now you see it shining right away. So the heart, it will jump as soon you come with the message, the true message to it, it will open. Because, like, look in Russia as example. Okay, this is what you call the capitalism, what you call socialism?
Communism.
Okay, it stay for how long? You know, if they found somebody with a Quran in his house, he can be jailed. These people, they actually did their best to wipe anything called Islam. And this is the reason they found these people who came from Bosnia and all these things before the war was no different between them and the Serb. They do the same thing and worse than them. Boyfriend, girlfriend, drink, every drugs, everything. But look, subhanAllah, how these people change. I wish you come, some of those brothers that I meet in New York, wallahi brothers, you'll be surprised. The brothers and the sisters, these women, they wear in face veins walking in New York. These Bosnia people. These brothers, they found his beard that big. You understand? And these are the same people that 5-6 years before even they come, you understand, before the war, you could not know. Even the so-called Muslims and non-Muslims, they would marry. Like I think there are some people, they do this in India. Muslims and Hindus, some people, they already got rid of this Islam, became Islam, their names only. I heard there is some Hindus and Muslims, they marry together. I don't know if you know this or not. But the Bosnians, the Serbs, the Christian Muslims, men and women, and some of them without marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, everything was happening there. How now these people totally changed like this? And they did not see Islam, okay? This Islam, when Islam was their father, their grandfathers. Now see the new generation. If somebody did not receive the message and they didn't know anything about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. Never we punish a community until a messenger comes to them. So where is he going to go? Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish exam for them in the day of judgment. You see? What kind of exam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a test for them. Okay? And if they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put something in front of them. Okay, do you know me now? You know me? You acknowledge me? Yes, you're Allah. Okay. Allah put something in front of them, it looked like hellfire. And it's not hellfire. And something looked like a paradise, but it's not a paradise. It is a hellfire. And Allah tells them, you understand, to enter hellfire. So here you have Allah in front of you talking to you, and some people will reject to enter this hellfire. The Prophet said, if they enter it, is Jannah for them. There is a serious test, okay? But still Allah giving them the chance, even lost the chance in the day of judgment. Yeah, so it's a fair trial. Yeah, so the person, how is he going to know that this is the da'wah? Because there is a seed still there, down in the bottom of your heart. Okay? Like the same thing, look, akhil, like these people who took shahada in America. How these people, even not their father, their mother, not their grandfather, they understand, you are not Muslims. How these people understand, it maybe take a few months, a few years, but look, they start the search, and after this they say, oh, they wash their hands from Christianity and they come to Islam. How is this happening? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left something there in the bottom of your heart. It's telling you there is Allah, there is a creator, this is true, this is falsehood. Allah give you means and ways that when the haqq and the truth come to you, you will acknowledge it. But some people, because they understand, they're still running behind the dunya. They want this temporary life. And he knows, he says, oh, Islam, yeah, I think it's okay, but it's too much restriction for me, and I want to let you understand, I'm not ready for this now, okay? But the Ashqa is the one who is what? The one who avoids the answering the message. يتجنبها يتجنبها ويتجنبها ويتجن ويتجنبها تجنب الشيء that means to avoid it, to stay away from it, okay? Yeah. Ha is a pronoun. Tajannaba means he avoided. Ha is a pronoun referring to the da'wah. That means he will avoid the admonishment or the admonition. Okay? Who? Al-Ashqa. So say ha is a pronoun referring to the da'wah. So now when you give da'wah, okay, some people was yadhakkaru and some people will be what? Yatajannabu. One will be reminded and he will accept the reminder, and one will avoid the reminder. But this person, because he is ashqa, okay, the reminder will be received by him who fears Allah, but it will be avoided by the ritual. More explanation about who is that person. He said, الذي يصلى النار الكبرى. الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. Now let's go to stop here before we go any further to read a little bit about what Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen is saying. He said, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the people to two categories concerning the reminder or the da'wah. The first category, the people who fear the Allah. Fear Allah through knowledge, knowing about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person, when you remind him about Allah, as Allah described in Surah Al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. Okay, those who are, when they are reminded with the verses of Allah, they do not act as if they are blind and deaf. Okay, yeah. So the one who fears Allah, when you remind him, he will be acceptable and he will benefit from the admonishment and the reminder and the da'wah. The second category is يتجنبها الأشقى. This is the one who didn't benefit from the da'wah. He did not make use of what you correcting him or teaching him. He's an أشقى. And the شقاء is the opposite of سعادة. The شقاء is the opposite of happiness, as it came in Surah Hud. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ. As for the shaqqa, they will be in hellfire. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سَعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ. As for the happy ones, they will be in Jannah. So al-ashqa, the one who is been described by making shaqawa, i.e. avoiding the da'wah, is not benefiting from the da'wah. Wal ashqa, the one who exceed and go to the extreme in his disobedience, which is the kufr. Because the one who drinking is sinner, the one who stealing is sinning. But you understand, say like you saying bad and worse, or good and best, okay? So al-ashqa is the one who exceeding in his misfortune and misery. He said because he exceeded in his disobedience to Allah until he reached to the kufr. And this is the worst thing that can be. So became not misfortune, he became the worst of a misfortune person. The kafir, you give him da'wah, he doesn't take it. And after this Allah said, الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Is it time for Maghrib in? 18? Oh, no, we're in verse number 11. Okay, inshallah, I think we're going to have to go for one class more with this surah, but it's not how fast we go, that is better that we take our time and learn, inshallah. Okay. Huh? It's better to start. Oh, Maghrib, going back? You're welcome. I'm here from 1 o'clock. So, whatever time you want. Oh, yeah? About what time? 6? Don't worry about me, you guys decide when, because I'm here. What time your children leave school? Okay. No, I'm talking about your kids. What time your kids come back home? You. Oh, yeah, I forgot that you... Oh, yeah. Okay. You guys see what's your time. Give me a call, because it's not going to make difference with me, inshallah. Jazakumullah khayran. All right, you guys study, and inshallah, refer to your tafsir or whatever books you have, and read over Surah Al-A'la, inshallah. Jazakumullah khayran. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And Allah knows this. Take care. Yes.